Welcome back, everybody, to the Anna DeVellante Show. I'm Elise Gling, sitting in for Anna today. I'll be back tomorrow as well. Hope that makes you happy. It makes me happy to be here with you. We've been talking about happy this entire time, the last 3 hours. And Richard Easterlin is a university professor and professor of economics at the University of Southern California, USC. He is also a member of the National Academy of Sciences and the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, Distinguished Fellow of the American Economic Association. In short, he's an economist, and he has written a new book that is all about happy. It's called An Economist's Lessons on Happiness, Farewell Dismal Science. And there's a big smiley face on the cover of this book. Professor Easterlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, money is one of those things that people think having more of will make them happier. What does 50 years of science tell you, or 50 years of research?
Well, if all that happened was that my income went up, it would make me happier. But if you ask yourself, how would you feel if your income stayed the same and everybody else's income went up? It would make you less happy, I think. And that's the problem. When my income goes up, it tends to make me happy. But when my income goes up, so does most of the people that I know have higher incomes. And the result is no improvement in happiness, because the greater happiness from the increase in my income is being offset by less happiness from the increase in other people's incomes.
So,
in other words, the effect on our happiness depends on how we compare with others, not how we do all by ourselves.
So basically, I have to not only keep up with the neighbors, I have to pass them by in order to be happier about the money that I have.
Yes, that would work. The only problem is, how do you keep the neighbors from doing exactly the same thing?
Well, I think that's what's been known as the American economy, but we can have that discussion in a moment. So tell me why, what are some of the things that in your 50 years of research and looking at this and being the, you know, the happiness economist, you know, what are some of the things that you discovered that you've put into your book?
I think one of the things is when people's happiness depends basically on three things: their economic situation, their family situation, and their health. And the problem with improvements in your economic situation or income is it gets offset by what's happening to other people, since it tends to be everybody's income goes up together. In the case of family circumstances and health, however, we don't make those comparisons. You know relatively little about the finances of other people. You know relatively little about their health. And so when your family circumstances improve, it makes you happier, and there's nothing happening, as far as you know, with regard to other people that's offsetting that. The same is true with regard to health. When that gets better, then that makes you happier. You don't know what's happening to other people, and so there's no offset from social comparison. So the lesson that I've sort of learned from studying the data over a long period of time is where you have a limited amount of time, you do better to spend it more on family and health than on just trying to make more money.
A really good friend of mine, Professor, asks this question, and I put it out there to our WGN audience earlier. Can you be happier? In looking at the science, do you think that everybody could be happier, or maybe some people are happy enough? I know you've done a lot of work in the measurement of happiness.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the evidence on happiness of people in high-income countries, there's still a lot of room for improvement in happiness of most people. Now, on a scale of like 0 to 10, where 10 is completely happy, a very small percentage is at 10. So most people could improve their happiness, and many people could improve it considerably.
When you look at what are the top things that you can do, I know in your book you've said that, you know, if you want to be happier, focus on your family, focus on your health, stop comparing your status to others. But what about other things that you can do, you know, religion or faith? You know, should we get religion? Is that going to make us happier?
Well, I think the problem is, let me back up. Yes, there is a correlation between religiosity and happiness, a positive correlation. The problem is exhorting people to be religious doesn't seem like something that you can do effectively. It's not like you can simply say, okay, now I'm going to be religious. Being religious is much more a matter of personality than a matter of choice. So things like being religious, giving money, volunteering, they all show up positively related to happiness at a point in time. But telling people that they should be religious, that they should donate money, that they should volunteer their time, that's not necessarily going to go over well, because it means they'll be spending time on those things at the expense, perhaps, of their family life. And so they'll be actually possibly worse off.
Professor Richard Esterlin is the author of An Economist's Lessons on Happiness, Farewell Dismal Science, big smiley face on the cover. Professor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. My pleasure.
We appreciate it.